I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
KCBS, in partnership with UCSF Health, presents As Prescribed, a weekly conversation with leading medical experts from UCSF Medical Center and UCSF Benioff Children's Hospitals.
Hello and welcome to As Prescribed. I'm Kathy Novak. If you are a senior with memory issues, there's a good chance you take enough medication to need one of those daily pill organizers. And researchers at UCSF have been taking a closer look at how much medication older adults with dementia take and asking, are all those pills really necessary? Dr. Matthew Groudon is a research fellow at the UCSF Division of Geriatrics and first author of this study, and he joins us today to discuss it. Dr. Groudon, welcome to As Prescribed.
Thank you, Kathy.
So your study tracked more than 400 seniors. Let's paint a picture here. How much medication is a typical person in this group taking every day?
It's a great question, Kathy. One thing that definitely jumps out at you is the fact that people with cognitive impairment, especially older adults with dementia, take a lot of medications in this country. And in fact, in another study that I was part of, we found that on average, they're taking about 8 meds. And that's compared to more like 3 medications in people without cognitive impairment. So definitely a lot of pills that people are having to keep track of.
And why did you want to look at this then? What is the concern about people taking that much medication?
Yeah, so I think obviously as doctors, we prescribe medications with the hope that we're going to help our patients achieve better health. So they may have a number of chronic conditions for which we're prescribing medications, and we hope with each medication that we prescribe that the benefits of the medication will outweigh the risks. Now, in older adults in general, and especially in older adults with cognitive impairment, that balance can sometimes start to tip. And we worry a little bit about these complex medical regimens leading to things like drug-drug interactions, so different drugs that interact together and can cause problems. And in fact, that the confluence of taking so many medications can lead to other adverse events, things like falls, cognitive impairment getting worse, sometimes going to the hospital. An example you might think of is, for example, if someone is taking a blood thinner and maybe they misuse it inadvertently, they may develop a bleeding disorder. And that's actually a not uncommon reason that people get hospitalized. So we have to think very carefully about the risks and benefits of each medication that someone is taking.
And how does it really get to this point where you're talking about possible interaction that is, you know, having a bad effect on people between these different drugs? How do people end up in this position where they're taking so many?
So I think that most patients and certainly patients going to see their providers are doing it with the best intent. They have either a chronic condition or they have a symptom. They're seeing either a primary care physician or a specialist who's trying to help them for that condition. As people get older, it is commonly the case that they will develop more chronic conditions. So there's just the confluence of the additive number of medications that they're taking for each of those conditions. But there are also health system factors that drive this. So we have, unfortunately, often a very fragmented healthcare system. So people may be seeing a number of physicians, and we know that primary care physicians do their best to take care of their patients, but they often are, you know, forced to see their patients in a very short amount of time. So for someone to really look at a patient, look at their medication list and look at it holistically, you know, from top to bottom and think about each one of those medications, how they interact, can be quite time consuming and frankly is something that doesn't happen enough for our older adults.
So what is your advice to people who might want to take that more holistic look? Where do they start, especially if we're talking about people who might have cognitive impairment and need someone to advocate for them?
Yeah, I think if there's one message that I'd love to get out there, I think one is that I really hope that patients will feel empowered, whether it's the patient themselves or a caregiver, a loved one who's helping take care of them, especially in the case of people with cognitive impairment or more advanced dementia. I hope that people will feel empowered to turn to their physicians and say, hey, you know, I want to look at my medications. Do you think these are helping me? or especially if they think there's a medication that may be causing them some sort of side effect. Can you tell me, does this medication cause these side effects? Do I really need to be on all of these? You know, are there some that I might be able to taper off of safely? And so I think that really the one constant in this fragmented healthcare system is in fact the patient. So I hope that patients will be empowered to carry that through in all of their visits in the healthcare system.
And you did say there, tapering off and going to your physician and talking about this with a medical professional. I would presume that we're not talking here about someone just unilaterally deciding, I'm going to stop taking X, Y, or Z pill.
That's right. Like I said, I think that hopefully most medications that people are being prescribed are for the right reason, and they're providing a lot of benefits. Someone may be taking blood pressure medicine, cholesterol medicine, things that help prevent their risk of having a cardiovascular event. If there are medications that are decided in the conversations with your physician, you know, there's a medicine you're taking that was raising your risk of a fall, for an example. It really is best to talk to them about it, not to come off of it cold turkey. In some cases, we have to be careful about scaling medications back in a safe way and monitoring people closely as we do it. So just as a lot of thought needs to go into the act of prescribing medications, we need to bring the same amount of thought to the act of deprescribing or tapering people off of medications.
And, you know, you're talking there about medication that was prescribed in the first place, presumably for a real medical issue. So do people also need to be looking into possible alternatives, ways to treat these issues that aren't through pharmaceuticals?
I'm so glad you asked that. I think that the answer is resoundingly yes. And I think that there's so much opportunity in this country and in our medical system to really beef up our non-pharmacologic management. So whether it's pain or insomnia or acid reflux, there are tried and true ways to help people and help patients manage their conditions without having to resort to pills. For some segment of the population, they are undoubtedly going to benefit from having medication. But in another sizable proportion of the population, it may be that they can either scale back on their medications or that they can come off of them altogether. And one thing as a geriatrician and someone who specializes in taking care of older people is as people get older, sometimes the medications that were helping them when they were a little bit younger, you know, they may not need to be at the same dose, or they may be able to even come off of the medication. So I think it's really incumbent upon us as providers and as a health system to give people other options. So if we're going to be tapering or deprescribing medication, I think we really need to be offering someone, whether it's some sort of, you know, for example, cognitive behavioral therapy for people who are suffering from insomnia, or some sort of other non-pharmacologic management for someone who's been treating their pain.
All right, Dr. Matthew Gradden, thanks so much for talking about this with us today.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Matthew Gradden is a research fellow at the UCSF Division of Geriatrics. And I'm Kathy Novak. Thanks so much for tuning in to As Prescribed.
As Prescribed, every Thursday at 1:30, right here on the Bay Area's news station, All News 106.9 at AM 740 KCBS, and streaming on the Odyssey app. The proceeding was sponsored by UCSF.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.